2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. Thank you, Lord, for your word. It says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. And that's why we come together to hear God's word. Why? Because all scripture in this Bible is inspired by God for what purpose? To teach us and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. Anybody wants to do what's right? I do. That's why I need God's word. I want to do what's right. I want to have the right attitude in society, you know? So that's a foundational verse for us. And verse 17 says, God uses it. God uses what? God uses his word to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Hallelujah. So God is preparing you and equipping you to do every good work. So today, the words God's going to give you, take them, use them. Because if you don't use them, in the same Bible, it says you're fooling yourself. If you're hearing the word without doing what the word asks of you, you are just fooling yourself. And we don't want to do that. I don't want you to do that. I want you to obey God's word. Hallelujah. So let's go back to Revelation chapter 3. Last week, I talked about the message to Sardis. And today, I'm going to start from verse 6. I'm going to go backwards. You know, normally we read from verse 1 to verse 6. Today, I'm going to go from verse 6 to verse 1. Verse 6, Revelation chapter 3, verse 6 says, anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he's saying to the churches. Okay? Anyone with ears, and I know all of you here, and I can see you all have ears, thank God. And all of you are able to hear and are able to understand. And if there's something I say or you read in the Bible that you don't understand, that's why we are here. You need to come to us and contact us so we can help you understand. Verse 5 says, all who are victorious will be clothed in white, and I will never erase their names from the book of life. But I will announce it before my Father and the angels that are mine. Verse 4. Yet there are some people in the church of Sardis that have not soiled their clothes with evil. They will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Verse 3. Go back to what you've heard and believe at first. Hold to it firmly. Repent and turn to me. If you don't wake up, I will come to you suddenly, as unexpected as a thief. Verse 2 says again, wake up. Strengthen what little remains, for even what is left is almost dead. I find that your actions do not meet the requirements of my God. And last week, I did talk a little bit on certain requirements God asked of us. Today, I'm going to touch again on those things. And verse 1. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Sardis. This is the message from the one who has the seven spirit. Here in this verse, the seven spirit is making reference to the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. Okay? The seven spirit of God and the seven stars. So the seven stars here in this context represent the seven pastors for those seven churches. Jesus is saying, hey, I've got the Holy Spirit and I want to pour it, but also I am holding the pastors in my hands. You know, that's why when I told you last week, when I read this, I'm like, thank God, I don't have to do this. We can't do it by ourselves. There is no ministry without the Holy Spirit. There is no Christian life without the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit in your life. You need the Holy Spirit guidance. The Holy Spirit is not meant. I mean, Jesus didn't send it for the preachers, for the prophets. No. The Holy Spirit is for everyone who believes in the name of Jesus. We need him. And the other part of the verse says, I know all the things you do, and that you have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. I talk a lot about being dead spiritually, or I talk a lot about a dead church. Even though the church in Sardis did a lot of good things, but they were dead spiritually. It's not enough to do good things. Good things doesn't take you to heaven. You know, that's I used to know somebody that still know him. He thought the more money he gives to the kingdom, that pleases God. There's nothing you can do to please God beside put your faith wholeheartedly in his son and live in obedience to his word. You know, Jesus also affirmed even the church in Sardis. Some people in the church were dead spiritually, but he affirmed those that were living right. And that's my prayer for us as a church, that we would not live we would not be spiritually dead. You would be alive. You know, and how do you know a live tree from a dead tree? You all know the answer. How can you tell the difference from a live tree and a dead tree? The answer is simple. The live tree will have fruit, will have leaves. Now, although don't let winters fool you. Because until I live up north, I've never seen a live trees that are bare. Okay? So we all can see the difference. The church in Sardis also was being told to wake up. Wake up from their sleep. Wake up from the fact that they were used to doing good, and they think doing good was enough. No, doing good is not enough. Their self-satisfaction caused them to fall asleep spiritually. And I told you last week, don't get satisfied. Don't get satisfied. Don't think, oh, I know God. Oh, I know this already. Oh, I know this Bible verse. Do not get used to the word of God. Do not do that. Are you watchful? Are you alert? Do you see what's going on in the world? Do you see what's going on around you? And I challenged you last week to dwell in the word of God. Just like you ate every day, you need to eat, feed your spirit every day. Make it a priority to eat every day. Read your Bible. Pray every day. Pray every day. Pray every day. Read your Bible. And then I would add, because you all remember this little song, right? It was a favorite song in Sunday school, right? It says, read your Bible, pray every day, and you grow. But then the result comes from reading and applying. The growth comes from reading and applying the word. Because if we're reading and we're not applying, we're choosing, we're picking. And that's one of the things I talked about last week. I said one of the characteristics of a dead church or someone who is living a spiritual life that's dead, they are, what is this? Turn your phone off. Airplane mode. Okay? So one of the things that characterize a dead church is they add or they take away from the word. Do I have that list up there? Yeah, there are requirements in addition to the Bible. So for example, a dead church because we're talking in the context of church. They want people to follow a bunch of rules. Don't do this. Don't eat this. You know, this is the way you should be, right? This is the way they put God in a box. Now remember, wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So once again, the same Bible says, I am free to do everything, but I'm not going to be the slave of anything, right? I am free to eat a large pizza, okay? You are free to eat. Once in a while, it's good, a large pizza. I think I've done that, a large pizza, maybe when I was younger. But you know what? Sometimes eating a large pizza might not be good for you. So therefore, if I'm living under the law of the Spirit, I will know what to do and what not to do. That makes sense? Okay? So that's one of the requirements of a dead church. There's something I want to... Today I want to touch in verse 2. I don't know if you are on Facebook on our webpage or on our webpage once a week now. Besides soaking, I'm coming up with, you know, some kind of 2-3 minutes encouragement from what I'm learning or from our sermon, just to get people to remember what we've been talking about. So one of the things I talk about this week is the verse 2. It was from verse 2, Revelation chapter 3, where it says, wake up, strengthen what little remains, and even for even what is left is almost dead. I find that your actions do not meet the requirements of my God. So therefore, requirements. I took 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14. Now, you know, and I know if I sent that verse out there where it says, well, if my people, meaning collectively, so if God's people in America do what? Those people who are called by my name, if they all humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Collectively, we all need to follow this. Because this promise that's in the verse, 2 Chronicles 7:14, where it says God will come and he will heal our land, rests on all of our responsibilities as a whole to follow God's requirement in this verse. See, in order to experience those promises in 2 Chronicles, we must do our part. Here's another verse. Children, honor your parents. Why? Because this is one commandment that follows with a promise. What's the promise? You live long, a healthy life. You honor your parents. You respect them. You serve them. It doesn't matter if they were good or bad. It doesn't matter however they were. Because they were your mom and your dad, you owe them respect and honor. And if you call yourself a follower of Christ, the Bible says you need to honor your parents. Do they deserve it? No. I've given you testimony. So a couple weeks ago, we were going to Montana. And on our way to Montana, we missed our flight from Georgia to one of those places up there. Okay? Because there was fog, the plane couldn't land. Well, then now what do we do? What's the next flight? The next flight is the next morning at 4 in the morning. But then what do we do from 7 a.m. till the next morning in Atlanta, Georgia? Well, guess what? I have a brother who lives 15 minutes from the airport. call them. Hey, what's up, man? What are you up to today? Oh, I've got soccer game with my sons and whatever. I said, guess what? We're stuck in Georgia. Can you pick us up? And we end up spending a wonderful, unforgettable day with them. It was one of the most, I couldn't plan what happened that day with my brother. I've given you my testimony. How we kids dealt with our parents to forgive them and to move on. But thank God, so far, I am the oldest, but so far I am one of them. I am the only one, as a matter of fact. I am the only one where God has been really convincing me to forgive my dad with nothing, with no expectation in return. And not only that, I had testimonies. This year I found myself in a situation where I had to do good. I had to be good towards him. And I didn't want to. But I choose to honor him. I choose to serve him. I choose to love him. And then here, my brother's telling me how much he's hurting. How much he can't forgive him. And I'm sitting there and I'm listening. And I feel compassion. And I understand. I see where he's coming from. We all went through it. He was the youngest. He probably suffered the most. I listened to him. We talked for like hours. And then when he was done and I told him, I said, can I give you a testimony? So I gave him my side of the story. And I told him what the Lord has done in my heart. And I told him what happened when I accepted God's word that says, honor your parent. And I'm explaining to him the joy and the freedom I'm experiencing. Even in my mind, when I think about my dad, there's no resentment. He's not in the jail of my heart. There's no room up here. You know, sometimes that little cell jail, you put that person way back there and you lock it, you weld the door. Jesus came and opened that door, wide open. All right, so we spent the day, didn't preach to him, I just gave him my testimony, and then Sunday morning we left. Well, guess what? Yesterday, when's Thanksgiving? Yeah, Thanksgiving. My brother called me. We were on the phone for at least 5 hours. So we end up, not only him, we end up calling my other brother. And then when we realized there was a soccer game we wanted to watch, we were like, well, let's do a Zoom meeting. Guys, I'm like, this is what the Lord wants to do with you. Take God's word to heart. Apply it in your life because there are people in your family. They need to see the example. They don't have it. You have the light. Stop expecting other people to walk in the light. They're not in the light. You are. You are. I tell you, if Jesus still has you on earth, every day he has you for a greater purpose than going to work, sleep, eat, repeat. He puts you in your family to share the light, spread the light, intercede for them. But not only that, show them how it's done. Why? Because you're following the light. They're not in the light. The Bible says in Revelation, you overcome the enemy by the power of the blood. Okay? Okay, the power of the blood will never lose its power. Okay, so there is power in the blood. There is power. We can sing it all over. Wonderful working power, right? In the blood of the Lamb. But the second one is the word of your testimony. Your testimony. You need your testimony. So accept to pay the price. You know, I talk about 2 Chronicles 14, 7, 14. Collectively, God is asking you has requirements for us. You know? And think about this word with me for a minute. Wickedness. God says, if we repent, he will come. If we repent from our wickedness, wicked, evil doing, you know, sin, sinfulness. And one of the messages we read from Revelation is there are many churches from the letters in Revelation. God's complaint against them was they tolerate sin. What are some sin you are tolerating in your life? What are some things you are compromising in your life? What are they? I pray today that the Lord will open your heart, open your eyes, open your mind, shine his light. God wants us to live a free life, life free of bitterness, life free of, I know right now it could be a big thing, political fight, you know, this party against that party. God wants us to live free from that, people. Come on, God's people. Free, free from that. Kingdom perspective. Corruption. In wickedness, we see corruption. Now, individual requirements. What are some things, God, beside... I use Ephesians chapter 6, where it says, honor your parents. But there's another verse in Micah chapter 6. It says, what can we bring to the Lord? What kind of offering should we give him? Should we bow before God with offerings of yielding calves? Should we offer him thousands of rams and then thousands of rivers of oil? Should we sacrifice our firstborn children to pay for our sins? Those are good questions. What should I do to earn God's grace? You see, that's why religion puts us in a box. Religion says, well, you need to worship God Sunday morning. Or, you know, other religion says, well, it's Saturday night. Some other religion says, no, it's actually Friday night to Saturday night. Some other people says, no, it's Monday. And then some other religion says, well, guess what? You can't eat pizza. You can't have bologna. You know, just crazy example. Some other religion says, well, guess what? You have to dress like this. If you don't dress like this, no, we got to give everybody a uniform. This is your uniform. And we think, even in our mind, we think, the moment I start wearing this uniform, I'm a little closer to God. Ooh, hallelujah. No. There is nothing you need to do to earn God's grace. See, even in the Old Testament, the people were dealing with this. Man, what should we do? God, what can I do to bring him satisfaction? Because all of us, we love to worship. And we will worship something. And I thank God that you choose to worship the Almighty God. This morning you choose to worship the Almighty God, the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. That's who I bow my knees to. And then the verse comes, continues, says, then God answered. This is the requirement. God's like, no. Oh, people, Lord, the Lord has told you what is good. What is requirements? The requirements, this is what he requires of you and I. That we do what is right. Oh, we do what is right. One of the reasons people that doesn't go to church hate coming to church, it's because what? Church people stop doing what's right. They talk right. They talk what is right. They've got the talk, but not the walk. The talk is cheap. The walk will cost you. Are you willing to pay? Do what is right. Do what is right. And sometimes It means taking the blame. Sometimes it means let them believe it. Because time has a way to show what's right too. Don't fight for your righteousness. What's the next one? Do what is right. Oh no, people, the Lord has told you what is good. This is what he requires of you. Do what is right. Love, mercy, and walk humbly before God. You know, the more I read the Bible, the more I realize one of the things, when someone encounters Jesus, you will be able to visibly see in their life his humility. John the Baptist. I mean, you know, guys remember John the Baptist in Matthew, Luke, Mark. John the Baptist says, man, a man has nothing unless God gives it. And you look at John and you're like, man, the Bible talks about John as one of the most. I mean, he was called to make ways for the coming king. Remember that. Revelation chapter 3. God, Jesus says, I find that your actions do not meet the requirements of my God. So yeah, God has requirements. But the things he requires of us, I tell you, it's not a bunch of laws. Don't do this. Don't eat that. Don't drink that. Don't wear that. It's not that. Jesus said, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. John 8:36, right? He who the Son sets free is free indeed. I pray today that all of us can begin to experience the freedom of Christ in our lives. He who he sets free is free indeed. Let's go back to some of the characteristic of a dead church. If you go back to that list, I think I was in number 4. Number 1 was, I talk about the requirements. There are requirements in addition to the Bible. Number 2, the church removes scriptures from the Bible to appease to people. God called us to preach the truth, nothing but the truth. And I'll never stop repeating it. I'm here to love people. I'm here to do life together, but I'm not here to please you. I'm here to preach God's word. Sometimes you're not going to like me. You know, I don't like that you might not like me, but guess what? They didn't like Jesus either. So if you're going to throw me away, you're going to throw me away with the Bible, not my personal conviction. Although, I'm asking the Lord to give me grace to base my personal conviction on his word. Number 3, the culture of the church is exclusive. I talk about black church, white church, Hispanic church, you know. The Bible says in Revelation that the time will come, every tongue, every people, every tribe, every height, every whatever you call them, will confess. So God's church is all nations. I tell you, man, I pray for a revival in God's church, in Christians' mind, to think, well, man, God is not looking for white church, black church, Hispanic church. No. He's looking for his bride. So we need to be aware of that. And number 4, I talk about the pastor does not preach the Bible. So if someone come to our church and they say, well, you know what, I came here and check it out, but then after a while, I see you guys are clapping your hands. Clapping hands is not for me. You know, I mean, it's kind of pitiful. When you look for a church, if you're out there and looking for a church, I don't know what your criteria are. If I would be you, this would be it. I want a church where God is at the center of it. When I'm talking about God, because a lot of people talk about God, they don't know what they're talking about. They think what's the God Mother Earth, or God the ocean, God the sun. They call all those things God creation, God. But I'm talking about God, the creator of heaven and earth, the almighty God, the father of Jesus Christ, who sent the Holy Spirit, and who inspired the living word, the Bible. So if I go to a church like that and I find God, I find that God, I'm like, okay, that's good. And I'm the number two, I'll be looking for a community, common unity, a place where people are family oriented. Do they like to share life together? Home groups. The Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit here? That's why I put emphasis on a couple weeks ago. I said, it doesn't matter what you choose, how you choose to worship God here. The Bible says to praise God with the drums. Praise God with hand clapping. Or if you don't feel like clapping your hands, sit down, lay down. Who cares? As long as you're sitting down, laying down in spirit and in truth. Can I have a witness? Number five, the church has no community. I talk about that already. And number six, the church does not teach the essentials for the Christian faith. What are the essentials for the Christian faith? If the church does not support core belief, the Trinity, Jesus as a Savior, Jesus as a Savior, fully God and fully man, the resurrection, the Holy Spirit, the integrity of the Bible, and that we are saved by grace through faith. That's it. There's no other way you can earn, work your way into heaven. You need to confess with your mouth, believe with your heart that Jesus Christ is the Lord. That's it. And then don't do life by yourself. Because no one has a baby and put in the baby in a room to grow. You need a family. Okay? You need a family. I've seen family, you know, kids, they got married, they grew up in Chesapeake or Virginia Beach. They grew up in Virginia Beach and then they become adults and they're like, we want to move away. And then they move away. And then they got married and then they start having kids. Guess what? I've known people that are like, well, you know what? I think I'm going to move back home. Guess why? It takes a whole community to raise a family. Spiritually, it's the same thing. Do not try to live a spiritual life by yourself. That's why, man, I have such spiritual rage against the spirit of COVID. Because the spirit of COVID came to destroy us, to divide us. Even in our own core family. To keep us away. I tell you, COVID killed a lot of people, not only physically. It was so sad to see some people passed away through COVID. But it grieves my heart that there are a lot of people that have been dead spiritually because of COVID. COVID killed them. Kill them. Done. Yeah, he killed them. No, that's right. Let him talk. I love having the kids. Yeah, he's listening. Church does not teach the essential. That's why I am calling all of you here who call yourself a member of Restoration Church. Fight for community. Do not let me fight alone. Fight for relationship. Fight so the Christian, essential Christian faith remain here in this church. If you see that I am just derailing, please come get me. Call me. Rebuke me. That's why I thank God that I have authority over me. I've got a group of people that are surrounding me to help me, you know, check and balances. Jesus is the chief pastor. Don't let anybody tell you, the pastor is the boss. Jesus is the boss. And guess what? I am the pastor here, but I also have Kenton over my head. I've got Lloyd, my spiritual father. I've got other mentors in my life. So if you see I am derailing before the bus goes four wheels up. Please help me out. And I believe that's where the church fell. Because we think, the pastor is here to watch over my soul. But God has called you to help me out as well. And unfortunately, religion put a lot of preachers on a pedestal to make us think, we got it. I said it and I'm going to repeat it. I am not in heaven yet, and I intend to get there with you. Matthew 28, verse 19, Jesus says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of age. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, it says, let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. Let us go ahead instead and become mature in understanding. And that's going to be my next week's message. Spiritual maturity. Signs of spiritual maturity. I mean, just like you do not, there are certain ways you do not act with a teenager or, you know, a toddler. There are certain ways you don't act with them because they just don't know yet. But there are certain people that are supposed to be mature. Okay? They shouldn't tattle on their pants, unless there is a problem, right? Mature people don't tattle their pants. And if they are, you better take them to the hospital and get them checked out so they can get help. Spiritually, it's the same thing. There are people that have grown up in church. That's why it's not enough to bring kids in church. They have to encounter Jesus. You know, like Evan, we got to make sure that she knows. You know, Evan, you got to have your personal encounter with Jesus. Because this is not just mama or my children. This is not just daddy bringing you to church. They need that personal encounter with Jesus. Let us go. Let us go on instead. Hebrews chapter 6. I'm still in Hebrews chapter 6. Let us go on instead and becoming mature in our understanding. Surely, we don't need to start again with the foundational importance of repentance from evil deeds. Placing our faith in God. You know, it's not healthy. I thank God because I see that we are growing. When I say growing, remember that the growing church is not a church that's growing in numbers, but it's a growing number of people. It's a number of people growing in maturity, growing in their understanding, growing in their love for Jesus, growing in their love for the Bible. It says, you don't need further instruction about baptism. If you're a believer, you're not baptized in water, get baptized. You know? Because when you get baptized in water, it seals. It's just like, you know, back in the days, I know nowadays people are trying to change things. If the guy likes you, if the guy wants to spend the rest of his life with you, guess what he's gonna wanna do? He's gonna wanna put a ring on it. But now everybody wants to, you know, you got it. What's the commitment? What's the commitment? Although we want them to understand commitment before they get married. Baptism. If you're a believer and you're not baptized in water, get baptized. Engage, because baptism says, all right, I have renounced the world. Jesus, I'm all in. I'm all yours. You know, that's what baptism does. We're not gonna continue. That's what the Hebrews says. Laying on hands. We pray for one another. You know, there are people that are afraid to lay hands on people. Now, if you know better, the Bible calls us to lay hands on each other. In our home groups, we pray for each other. Sometimes we put one person in the center and we just minister to them. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to them. It is impossible to bring back to repentance those. He says you don't need further instruction about baptism, laying hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And so, God willing, we will move forward to further understanding. For it is impossible to bring back to repentance those who were once enlightened. Those who have experienced the good things of heaven and shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of God, of the word of God, and the power of the age to come, who then turn away. The Bible says it is impossible. Have you ever talked to someone who used to follow God and became like hard-hearted? You know, let's say a believer who used to, I talked to somebody who used to be a preacher, and somehow he got bitter. He got hurt and got bitter. The Bible says people like this, it's completely impossible to bring them back. Guess what? You know why? It's because they reject the Holy Spirit. I tell you, thank God if you still have a desire for righteousness. Thank God when you lie, you can't sleep. If you say, if you see that you lie, you tell a lie, and your conscience is just like, you feel dirty, you feel, man, I shouldn't lie. Oh, man. Or pornography. You know, you go on there and you watch stuff, and you feel all of your insides dirty. You still have conscience. You still have the Holy Spirit. If you backstab someone, you know, talking, some people, they like to talk. But other people, they don't like to talk, but they like to hear. Oh, you got those people. They don't like to talk, but they, oh, yeah. More and more. And I pray we grow from glory to glory. Because Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back for a pure bride. And I tell you, we're not going to miss it. Let's take this opportunity right here. And my last one to finish, that's number 7. It's an unhealthy prayer culture. Philippians chapter 4 tells us. Actually, sorry, I have 2 more, but I won't spend time on this one. Unhealthy prayer culture. Philippians chapter 4 verse 6 tells the church not to be anxious about anything, but in everything to present your request to God by prayer. Now let me ask you this. Is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? As much as it is impossible to be alive without breathing, it is completely impossible to be a Christian without praying. And what I'm talking, the prayer I'm talking about, it's not God, thank you for the food. This is not the kind of prayer I'm talking about. I'm talking about you going for a mile walk, you walk, you're talking to God, and you give the Lord room to talk back to you. It's just communication. Have you ever lived in a house with someone and you never communicate with them? Oh, yeah, it happens to all of us. And you're like, okay, the moment you get the revelation, well, we need to communicate, the first step towards communication is to sit down, one shut up, the other one speak. Excuse me, my language. One be quiet, and the other one listen. And sometimes what the other one is saying, you know, communication. Principle of communication, 101. I hear my wife says, you know what, honey, I'm going to the store, but before I come back, I need you to do this, do that, do this, and that, and that. She gives me a bunch of lists, and then she says, why, you did say something about taking a nap, then maybe you can take your nap. But me, I skip all that. I just heard, she says, honey, you can take a nap. I got selective ears. That's how communication works between people, you know, and we have the same thing with God. Prayer life. Once a month, we call for prayer. I challenge you every last Friday of the month. 7 o'clock. Come together. You know, this is the last month. This is the last month of the year. Find people that are praying. Befriend someone who talks about prayer. Oh, I love praying. Oh, my life depends on it. The last one, a dying church. This one, I learned it when I first moved here 3 years ago. Resisting change. Bernie's here. Is Bernie here? Yeah, Bernie's the one that told me that. Then I went and researched it. The last 7 words of a dying church. We have never done it that way before. Don't put God in a box. Oh, we've never done it that way before. You guys know the story about the lady. where her mom had a small pen for the turkey or something like that. Then she always cut the turkey or something like that. There's a story like that. I don't know it. And then 4 generations later, she asked, well, why you always do this? And they're like, well, that's how grandma was doing. That's how grandma did it. You know, there's a pastor who just got brought in into a ministry, local church. You know, there are certain ways they used to do the communion. People used to walk. And the pastor, he was, you know, he had different ideas. And one Sunday he showed up. He's like, you know what, guys, we're just going to do the communion. Everybody's going to sit down and we're going to bring it to you. Oh, there's a couple of deacons that got offended. They're like, well, why do you do it that way? Why do you do that? A sign of spiritual life, or we've never done it that way. Oh, I've never prayed without anything covering my head. I've never prayed without kneeling. That's how it is. Well, I've never prayed without seeing glory to God. That's how I grew up in Haiti. You guys probably remember this. There's something in Haiti that says, before you pray, growing up, you say, Gloire au Père, Gloire au Fils, Gloire au Saint-Esprit. Glory to God, glory to God the Father, glory to God the Son, glory to God the Holy Spirit. And they tell you, unless you say this before you pray, God's not listening to your prayer. So every time before I go to pray, I said, glory to God the Father, glory to God the Son, glory to God the Spirit, oh Father, and then I start my prayer. See how stupid and dumb that is? It's what religion teaches. Now, I tell you, when I pray, I say, yeah, glory to God the Father. Oh, yes, Lord, I thank you. Glory to God the Father. But it's not religion. Are you with me? It's communication. Now, once again, I approach the throne of grace, knowing that God will reward me when I come by faith. What? Glory to God the Father. Oh, glory to God the Son. Glory to God the Holy Spirit. Now, when... what they said is not wrong. It's the way they taught us. They taught us, unless we say that, we're not praying. Are you with me? And then I finish with the verse I started. Revelation chapter 3, verse 6. Anyone with ears must hear and listen to the Spirit and understand what he's saying to the church. Amen.